Officials say those locations have been chosen because of the high incidence of speeding and accidents. Starting Monday, citations will be issued, but there will be a 15-day grace period before drivers are fined. Motorists who exceed the posted speed limits by 12 or more miles per hour will receive a citation. The fine for an automated speed citation is $40. A judge has ordered the state of Maryland to release its data regarding the deaths of horseshoe crabs. The Center for Biological Diversity sued the state's Department of Natural Resources last year, claiming it has failed to release information detailing the killing of horseshoe crabs. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting, our job is your satisfaction.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. Business owners can keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Interesting times at the University of Maryland as the team prepares for its NCAA first-round game today against Grand Canyon. Kevin Willard taking the mic and blowing the lid off rumor tensions between he and athletic director Damon Evans. And it all revolves around NIL money.
When you're at a place for 3 years and you put your heart and soul into it, you kind of sit there and say, okay, wait a second, for us to be really successful, first and foremost, I need to make sure that we are where we are with NIL, and rev share is not where we've been with NIL the past 2 years. We've been one of the worst, if not lowest, in the NIL in the last 2 years.
Orioles baseball last night. Birds fall to the Yanks 9-7 in Sarasota. Tomo Sugano gets hit for the first time this spring. 5 runs allowed and 4 2/3 innings pitched. But the Orioles did some hitting of their own.
Driven the other way by Rutschman into the windy Sarasota night. It will go. Adley Rutschman with his 3rd home run of the spring, and this one out to left center.
Kevin Brown with the call on Masson, and Rutschman's spring revival continues, his 3rd spring home run. All of this, however, overshadowed by the news that Felix Bautista may not be ready for opening day. Coming up in 30 minutes, Alex Ovechkin on the prowl. And that is Stein on Sports.
Planning your upcoming wedding or special event? Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills will create a menu for your special event and create a room block for your out-of-town guest. Enjoy their indoor pool and fitness center. Wake up to a delicious cup of coffee and made-to-order breakfast at the grill. Reach out to Lori Ruby in the sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call 410-654-0030. You can always count on Hilton Garden in Owings Mills, making it right.
At 10:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
It is a gorgeous spring weekend through the Mid-Atlantic. Lots of sunshine. The temperatures, though, are cooler today, 58. Warming up tomorrow, 66. Sunday, cooling back down, 54 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently, it's 44 in Dundalk, 41 in Owings Mills, and 41 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Like I told you, we have a jam-packed show today and some great guests. And I'm really excited because as we watched the press conference in Annapolis yesterday and watched Governor Wes Moore and friends really fumble around for answers, they could not one of them could come up with a cut that they are going to be making to the budget, yet they tell us $500 million in cuts is supposedly happening, but they don't know one of them, which is crazy to me. But beyond that, of course, we were also talking about the NTSB report to find out that Governor Moore hasn't done anything to make sure that another bridge in Maryland would not collapse like we saw with the Francis Scott Key Bridge. That just shows incompetence right off the top. I mean, you would think with all the photo ops, all the cameras, all the PR that they did around the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you would think the next step would be to make sure it doesn't happen again. We lost six lives. Well, guess what? I got an in-studio guest here. His name is John Myrick, and he is running for governor here in the state of Maryland. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on today.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, look, if there was ever a time for a Republican to really take over here and to flip a lot of Democrats, I think it's right now. There are Democrats that are not happy at all with Governor Wes Moore. So I first want to ask you, you know, stepping on the scene here, and you've been working very hard already, but stepping on the scene here, what would you do as governor? Like, why do you think you could be the executive of the state?
Well, that's a great question, Kim. I mean, first off, this governor clearly has no interest in governing Maryland at all. From day one, he's been disinterested and disconnected. The other day, he was up in New York at the Gridiron dinner and seemed to indicate that he intends to run for president. So really, how much of his attention and time do you think is going to be spent on doing Maryland's business over the next couple of years? I would say zero. I bring years of experience in the federal government working with Democrats and Republicans to be able to reach consensus. I'm an experienced negotiator, and I will bring something to the governor's office that we've been missing for years, and that's accountability.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of accountability, because I know that comes up a lot, how can you hold any of these people accountable, especially these Democrats in the supermajority right now in the Maryland General Assembly?
You know, that's been a tough nut to crack for Republican governors dating all the way back to Governor Ehrlich and through Governor Hogan's administrations, his two terms in office. All of their vetoes got overridden because of the supermajorities. First off, as I said, I'm an experienced negotiator. I've been awarded by the federal government for my ability to bring parties that have completely competing views together to reach consensus. So I can do that. Secondly, I'd like to work with the central committees throughout the state to identify vulnerable seats in the state Senate, particularly, that could be flipped to Republican. We only need to flip five seats in the state Senate to make the General Assembly override proof.
Okay.
And that's something that no Republican governor has ever had in the state. That will force Democrats to come to the table and negotiate honestly with Republicans to reach solutions for all Marylanders.
Yeah. Well, first, let me say, John, first, I love the fact that you're talking about supporting the Maryland GOP, because
Absolutely.
That's probably one of my biggest criticisms of former Governor Larry Hogan, is that we didn't do enough to really, you know, I guess you could say advance the party, considering he had like a 70% approval rating for quite some time there. So yeah. I love the fact that you're interested in doing that. I know there's a lot of central committees out there. I used to be on the Baltimore County one. There are a lot of central committees that would love to have that kind of support. And I didn't realize this. It just would take us five seats.
Yes, just five Senate seats, considerably more delegate seats, obviously, if we were looking at it from the delegate standpoint. But we intend to work, and we've been in contact with almost every RCC in the state now to talk about this issue. As you said, former Governor Hogan did very little, if anything, to support the party. We lost seats in the General Assembly every election while he was governor.
Yep.
That has to stop. As the governor, you're supposed to be the leader of your party, just as the president is at the national level. So not being able to support or not being willing to support your party is just ridiculous, and it doesn't help the state at all.
Yeah, I still think that was one of his biggest mistakes. And even when we saw this race, and I'm not going to get too much into, you know, Hogan, but the Senate race, he was down by 11 points. And I think a lot of that had to do with Republicans that were just not happy with how he, you know, supported other Republicans. And like you said, we lost seats every election cycle. I remember 2018 was like a bloodbath. I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was when I was on the Baltimore County Central Committee knocking doors. And I will never forget that because it was awful. Well, anyways, further than that, of course, we were talking about the budget. That's how we opened up the show.
Right.
Governor Wes Moore and friends could not name one cut. Yet, even with this budget, it says that it would bring us about $1 billion in revenue, but we're facing more than a $3 billion deficit. I don't know how that math, you know, equals out here, but maybe your take on this and what you would do in this position.
No, I mean, I'm an engineer by training, so math is kind of a forte for mine, for me. And clearly, $1 billion doesn't equal $3.3 billion, which is the current projected deficit. You have to make more than $500 million in cuts in order to make the math work. And you're right. Given the fact that the governor can't identify one single cut that they intend to make, that's problematic. And as you said in your earlier segment with Delegate Shalega, that doesn't even include the blueprint.
Right.
So that's another bill waiting to come due that we're going to have to deal with separately. What I would do first off is, and I've advocated this for many years, is a line-by-line accountability of every dollar spent in Maryland, just as DOGE is doing at the federal level. It's clear that we are wasting money. There are example after example in the Moore administration where taxpayer funds are being wasted.
Yeah.
We need to account for that money because that's not the General Assembly or Governor Moore's money. That's our money. That's the taxpayers' money. Democrat and Republican, unaffiliated, doesn't matter. It's our money. That needs to be found. I'd also look at merging some of the state departments. You know, when you look at the Maryland state government, there are 22 separate state departments and 54 independent agencies in Maryland. 22 departments. That's more than the federal government has. Do you mean to tell me that we need all that additional overhead to do the work of the people of Maryland when we don't need that many federal departments to run the entire country? Yeah. Those can be consolidated. All that overhead adds up to millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Well, even more, addition to the overhead, you've got Governor Wes Moore saying that he's going to add, I can't remember how many state jobs, which would cost us even more annually. How do you feel about that hiring freeze that now the Senate Republicans are calling for?
I think it's well past due. I mean, this governor has added 5,500 state employees to the payroll in just 2 years.
Yeah.
That's over $500 million annually in just salaries. And now he's talking about hiring another 5,000 state employees. Where's that money coming from? We're in a deficit situation right now. And he still hasn't been able to explain how he went from inheriting a $5.5 billion surplus to putting us $3.5 billion in the hole in just 24 months.
Yeah.
You know, I want somebody somewhere in the state government to explain that to the taxpayers. That's our money. We have a right to know where it's gone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you're just joining us, we are speaking to gubernatorial candidate John Myrick. John, you know, we had the scathing report yesterday from the NTSB. And as I was listening in, and at first I'm listening and I'm thinking, all right, you know, this is kind of what I figured. You know, it's not that we handled infrastructure well in this state, I don't think ever, right?
No.
But I did not realize, this is the news that I got yesterday, I did not realize that even after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, we didn't have a single elected official, especially the governor, that inquired on whether or not we had safeguards at the Bay Bridge or any bridge in the state. What was your reaction?
I mean, that's criminal in my opinion. I mean, leadership starts at the top. And the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the tragedy it was, should have been the wake-up call for this governor. And I don't blame solely this governor for the problem. This has reached back many years. But as governor, you are supposed to take the lead. And you're right. The first thing that should have been done would have been for the Department of Transportation to undergo a thorough review of all the safety procedures surrounding every bridge and tunnel in this state. Millions of people travel across those every year. And Marylanders deserve and expect to be safe doing so. Not even to bother to look at it is gross malfeasance and an absolute failure of leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could see, because even the spokesperson for the NTSB, I could see that she was frustrated. And rightfully so.
Clearly. And every Marylander should be.
Yeah.
To find out that your governor and your state government did nothing to protect you after we went through a horrible tragedy that could be repeated.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Why don't we know? Because nobody's bothered to look at it. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, and this was at a time where you had, because I noted, now Senator Angela Alston-Brooks was there at the press conferences for all the collapse, or all the press conferences, I should say, for the collapse. You had Congressman Kwesi Adfume there. You had, at that time, Baltimore County Executive Johnny O, who's now the congressman.
Yep.
You had Senator Chris Van Hollen was there. I think there was a day where Senator
Ben Cardin
showed up.
Ben Cardin was there as well, yep.
Yep, and then Joe Biden. You had Pete Buttigieg come to town.
Yep.
All of these individuals that really, their claim to fame was Biden passing that bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Right.
And nobody checked out the rest of the infrastructure.
Exactly. You pass a bill with $1 trillion of taxpayer money tied to it, and nobody thinks to take a look at safety of your existing infrastructure? Seriously? I mean, it doesn't get any more ridiculous than that.
Yeah, it really doesn't. John, real quick, because we're going to go to break here, and then we'll come back, and we'll probably talk about crime.
Sure.
And the FBI headquarters, of course. But where can they find you online? And, you know, if you have any events coming up, I just want to make sure people can get that now from you.
Sure. Online, I can be found at johnmyrick4mdgovernor.org, or I can be found on social media. Facebook is John Myrick for Governor of Maryland. I can be found on X at John Myrick for MD. Twitter the same way. So all over the place. And coming up events, actually tonight I'll be back in Baltimore County in Parkville as speaking at Kim Stansberry at her fundraiser. Kim's running for Baltimore County Executive.
Uh-huh.
And she was kind enough to ask me to speak on her behalf this evening at her event.
Nice.
So I'll be up there.
Nice. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you that a couple more times, but I want to
sure.
make sure that people get this because you're bringing common sense to the table, which I absolutely love. Also, if you want to call in and ask John any questions, you can. 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680. And if you want to put a question in the text line, I can read it to John. Like I said, when we get back, we're going to talk about the crime. We're going to talk about DJS. And of course, we're going to talk about FBI headquarters because now sounds like that's headed somewhere else. So all that and more coming up next.
Hi, it's Sean Casey here in studio with Maryland, Pennsylvania's real estate expert, Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty. Got a question for you, Vinny. What do you think the number one challenge home sellers face in this current real estate market?
Hey, Sean, you know the market has been strong for selling, but the biggest challenge for those that need to buy as well is trying to find the perfect home in a low inventory market, plus timing the sale of their current home with the purchase of their new home.
Now, we've talked over the years about all the different options you have available that the typical real estate agent would be clueless on.
We have several programs depending on our customers' needs, but our most popular include our exclusive trade-up program and sell today and stay for up to 12 months. All the programs are designed to help home sellers get the most amount of money within their time frame with the least amount of hassle and inconvenience.
So if you're trying to figure out how to sell and buy at the same time, call or text Vinny today, 410-709-7515, 410-709-7515, or visit vinnysteele.com.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Friday is the first full day of spring and the first day without the Department of Education, and America's kids are already getting smarter. Plus, if you don't think Trump derangement syndrome is real, a man has challenged the Antichrist Donald Trump to fight him naked to the death.
You gotta fight for your right to vote.
Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, good morning, happy Friday, and it is a happy Friday, because even though you most likely watched that poor press conference from Governor Wes Moore yesterday and friends, in regards to the budget, obviously they're not making many cuts, they're adding taxes, they're adding fees, and that doesn't even include the blueprint at this point, which is going to add even more. But then we found out that they don't really plan to be business friendly in this state, and you know, when they talk about industries they want to grow, one of those industries being IT, but we also learned yesterday that there's a 3% tax going on those IT services. So I don't know what's going on anymore. But luckily, we have our gubernatorial candidate in studio, John Myrick. John, again, thank you so much for being here. And I just wanted to give out the phone number again because John is, of course, willing to answer questions. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Before we move on to crime, John, I wanted to ask you, was there anything else you wanted to discuss in regards to the budget?
Yes, Kim, thank you. I mean, clearly, you can't tax your way to prosperity. And unfortunately, this governor hasn't figured that out. The budget proposal taxing businesses, you've got McCormick Spice Company, a Baltimore stalwart for 140 years, threatening to move to Virginia because they can't afford to do business here in Maryland anymore. Can you imagine Maryland without Old Bay?
Ugh.
I can't. I grew up here. I can't even fathom that. The budget as well, what they're not telling Marylanders is the amount of waste and money that they're spending on non-Maryland things in our budget. Last year, the state spent almost $2.9 billion taxpayer dollars on services for illegal aliens. $2.9 billion. That's taxpayer money that was expended for non-Maryland citizens.
Yeah. And you know what? I honestly don't talk about it enough here, John. And I guess because we got all these big stories every single day. But you're right. We do spend a lot of money on illegal immigrants. And we were saying, or I should say we were talking about the fact that even when it comes to our schools, the amount of money we spend to feed, you know, American citizens that we have already. But then on top of this, illegal immigrants are also eating at least two meals a day at school, right? Breakfast
Clearly.
And lunch.
Yeah.
And then they do like this after school snack program, which sometimes looks like a meal. I don't know if people realize that, but we spend a lot of money on the schools as far as food as well. And so, you know, the more people we're inviting in, they're, of course, they're counting it as an increase in population. But
Correct.
They're more dependents than contributing members to society.
Absolutely. And legal immigration is absolutely vital to America. I mean, most of us are from immigrant families.
Yeah.
But when you come into this country legally, one of the things that you have to have is a sponsor who will financially take care of you if you're unable to do it yourself so that you don't become a charge on the public.
Yeah.
Illegal aliens don't have that. There's no requirement for these the 10 million people that have come across the border in the last 4 years to do that. So these people are becoming charges on the public. Look at New York City. Mayor Adams up there said that they spent $6.9 billion of taxpayer money on illegal aliens just in a two-year period.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with Boston. I think they said it was close to $2 billion.
Right. And it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
It's unsustainable and it's unfair to put that burden on the American taxpayer and on the Maryland taxpayer.
Yes, of course. I think everybody, no matter what party they're affiliated with, I think they would agree with you. I got a question here in the text line. Excuse me. Excuse me. A question in the text line says, the governor is responsible for multiple appointments, boards, panels, cabinet, and of course, biggest as all judges. What is your philosophy, John, and criteria for those appointments?
Very simply, finding the most qualified people for the right jobs. You see what happens when a governor doesn't do that. Look at the Maryland Public Service Commission for an example. I think everybody in Maryland already is aware of the incredible price increases for our energy costs here with BG&E. BG&E applied for those rate increases last August before the Maryland Public Service Commission. Who approved $500 million in rate increases? Who appoints the Public Service Commission?
Yeah.
The governor.
Yep.
Who appoints all of those cabinet officers? The governor. The people who are supposed to be responsible for spending our taxpayer dollars. I want to find the most highly qualified person for the job. I don't care if they're a Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated. It doesn't matter. If their qualifications are sound, if they can do the job, if they are going to do the job for Marylanders, that's the person you want in the job.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking of a story or an article I saw the other day where Governor Westmore hired an architect. I don't know if you saw this. It was an architect, but I guess he really wasn't an architect.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just look at some of his most recent pick for the Maryland Lottery Commission.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
yes.
Mr. Mosby. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best you can come up with?
Yeah.
That again, calls your judgment, your accountability, and your leadership into question.
Yeah. Well, John, we're going to take a break here. But real quick, before you go to the next segment, I want to ask you to, again, give out your website to the audience.
Sure. The website is johnmyrick4mdgovernor.org.
All right. So that way you can follow along. Coming up next, we will get to crime, DJS, FBI headquarters. And I also want to talk about the relationship with President Trump. I think this is going to be one that's going to have to be maneuvered carefully, right? Because you've got Attorney General Anthony Brown, you've got Mayor Brenda Scott, you have all these elected officials that are really digging at Trump at every step he takes. So you're going to have to bridge that gap, especially to get more federal funding. So, John, I've got a lot of questions for you coming up next. And, of course, if you want to call in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680.
RN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump is railing against judges who interfere in White House policy decisions. Mr. Trump calls Judge James Boasberg, a local unknown judge, a grandstander looking for publicity. Boasberg continues pressing for more information about deportation flights. A different federal judge is blocking DOGE from accessing Social Security databases as part of its work and cutting government waste, fraud, and abuse. Europe's busiest airport shut down today. London's Heathrow closed by a fire at an electrical substation, snarling the travel plans of hundreds of thousands of airline passengers. More than 1,300 flights have been canceled so far today. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 463 points. The Nasdaq is off 141. More details at srnnews.com.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Maryland basketball getting set to keep up with the Antelopes this afternoon at 4:35. This amid a rift that has developed between head coach Kevin Willard and outgoing athletic director Damon Evans. At the root, money. Not necessarily for him, but for the program. Willard voicing a specific concern.
I can do the things that I want to do with my program. I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. So I don't know how we can be a top-tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive.
Wow. Opening day now less than a week away, and news comes that both Gunnar Henderson and Felix Bautista questionable to make the trek north. This from manager Brandon Hyde before the Birds' 9-7 loss to the Yankees. On the ice last night in D.C., Caps and Philly renewed their pleasantries. Scoreless late in the first, the Great Eight was on the prowl.
Ovechkin pops out high. Van Riemsdyk towards the goal. Block follow-up chance. score! Alex Ovechkin puts three of a kind into the chase. That's 8-8-8.
Joe B. had the call on monumental crazy eights for Alex Ovechkin. Now seven away from history as the Caps slip by Philly 3-2, the final. Coming up in 30 minutes, UMBC Baseball sets an NCAA record. And that is Stein on Sports.
Rod Barrowy here for the Safe Retirement Solutions team. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. God bless all of the listeners here at WCBM. Well, Doge is kicking ass. And how would you like to have a retirement plan that can kick ass? Do you want guarantees in retirement? How about guaranteed lifetime income for you and your spouse? Call us at 410-266-1120, 410-266-1120.
Mother Nature is full of surprises, or really just big temperature changes, especially the next couple of days, starting off the weekend with much cooler weather. It's a beautiful day, lots of sunshine, breezy though, and that northwesterly breeze limiting the warm-up, 58 the high this afternoon. Tomorrow's warmer, partly cloudy, 66. Sunday, cooler, 54 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rapid radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscription ever. Perfect for instant contact with an aging parent. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com and you'll get an extra 60% off, free UPS shipping, and add code radio for an extra 5% off.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and coworkers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Hopefully your Friday is starting out right. Man, oh man, I'm looking at, again, I was looking at the Maryland Matters article and the budget here that has been proposed by Governor Wes Moore and friends in Annapolis. It really is embarrassing. And the unfortunate part is, I don't think there's any way around what they're proposing considering how much they have spent. Right now, we're joined with our in-studio guest, John Myrick. He is the gubernatorial candidate here in the state of Maryland on, of course, the GOP ticket. John, before we get further into this, because I do want to ask you about crime, because that is a huge problem across the state.
Sure.
A lot of people sometimes talk about the moment they realized that they were a Republican, because I know that I didn't realize it until after Obama won, and then I switched parties in 2009. Because I was like, oh, wow, I definitely did not mean to vote for this. Looking into the Republican Party, and I was like, you know what? I have more in common with Condoleezza Rice than I do with Barack Obama. So I do wonder, with your story here and how, did you grow up Republican? What was that like?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'm a Marylander. I grew up like most Marylanders in a working class Democrat family.
Okay.
My family's been Democrat forever. They didn't vote Republican until Reagan, quite frankly. And you're right. You come to a point where the Democrat Party has changed so dramatically over the past years that it's unrecognizable from the Democrat Party of traditional Marylanders.
Yeah.
Most Marylanders, by and large, are moderate people. We just want low taxes, good schools, safe streets, and for the government to leave us alone. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, or unaffiliated. Those are common Maryland issues. And the Democrat Party has moved so far away from that that I truly don't believe it represents Maryland values any longer. And again, the problems we're facing now with this governor are not Democrat or Republican problems. That it's not a partisan issue. It's a Maryland issue.
Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me. No, John, I agree with you. I think, even my Democrat friends, they'll talk about how they are just over this whole topic of trans and biological men and women's sports or even teaching it to children.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you look at the bills that went before the legislature this year and some of the ones that passed the House of Delegates with the supermajority down there, absolutely ridiculous. So far left that they do not represent Maryland values. Things like the Condoms for Kitties bill that unfortunately was sponsored by my delegate. I live in Prince George's County. We're outnumbered 13-1, Democrats to Republicans down there. So my delegate's the one that sponsored that bill, you know, to put condom vending machines in kindergartens here, and then voted against Delegate Miller's amendment to limit that to just high schools. Seriously, how many 16-year-olds, because that's the age of consent in this state, how many 16-year-olds do you see attending elementary schools and kindergartens in Maryland? Not many.
No.
Yeah, not many.
And that's including, school districts that have kids that can't read, write, or do basic
math. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got those problems too. But again, you look at bills like that. You look at bills that the bill that just passed the state Senate now as well that limits Maryland law enforcement from cooperating with ICE across the state. Seriously? I mean, again, not a bill that represents Maryland values. Yeah. The bill that passed the state General Assembly that eliminates a parent's right to opt out of gender studies classes for kindergarten students.
Oh, right. House Bill 161.
161. Yep. Ridiculous. That does not represent, I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or unaffiliated, that does not represent Maryland values. And these are the bills being pushed by our elected officials, by the supermajority down there. And I just think Marylanders are over it. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so crazy. And, we're going to get into crime here. But the Democrat Party on the national level, when Kamala was running against Trump, their mantra, the main thing that they kept talking about was the fact that women were going to lose rights under Trump. Well, I would say here in the state of Maryland, many parents, of course, that includes the moms, have lost or may lose here many rights.
Absolutely.
To make decisions for their family or for their household.
Fundamental rights.
Yeah.
You know, people in our General Assembly and our governor don't seem to understand that the Supreme Court years ago ruled that parenting is a fundamental right, which means you are responsible for your child.
Yeah.
To try to limit your rights requires clear and convincing reasoning, and we don't have it this day.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're speaking to gubernatorial candidate John Myrick. John, I think you're doing a fantastic job articulating where you stand on these issues, so
thank
I appreciate you.
You.
When it comes to crime, especially, you know what, I'll go specifically to juvenile crime. We see the carjackings. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw a 76-year-old woman get pulled out of her car in Baltimore City and thrown to the ground as four juveniles took her vehicle. Two of those juveniles were already known by police. And so you have one of those 15-year-olds now being charged as an adult, because I guess
right.
He's in and out of the system all the time. Well, we're looking at DJS, and we're talking about the Secretary Vincent Schiraldi and how progressive he is, and how they feel at this point that, you know, your mind isn't fully developed until you're about the age of 25, which is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, where do you stand on that issue? And if you were going to make some changes at DJS, how would you begin to make those changes?
Well, first off, I served as a Harford County deputy sheriff for several years back in the early 90s, early in my career. So I have protected Marylanders on the streets from crime. I'm the only candidate in the state at that level that's done that. So I know what it's like to protect Marylanders, and I understand juvenile crime. I think the current juvenile justice secretary is far too progressive. He's out of his mind, quite frankly. We have to hold juveniles accountable for their actions. Juvenile crime is an epidemic in the country, and it's even worse here in Maryland because we have progressive leadership both at the state's attorney's level and in some of these jurisdictions and at the state level, all the way to the attorney general, who, as you said, think that children aren't able to make decisions. Well, these are the same people who are pushing for things like gender transitions for 14-year-olds,
yep.
You know, gender identification training for 5-year-olds in kindergartens. They think that it's okay for these people to make those decisions. And in some jurisdictions in Maryland, 16-year-olds are allowed to vote in local elections.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that their brains are not fully developed and they're not responsible for their actions? That same 16-year-old who's going to cast a ballot isn't responsible enough or grown up enough to be held accountable for their criminal activity? Are you kidding me? We need to tighten this up. It starts in the home, clearly.
Yeah.
better supervision by parents. But when your child commits a crime, they need to be held accountable by the state, because ultimately the citizens of Maryland are the victims.
Yeah. So under your leadership, the Secretary of Business Schiraldi, he's out of there, right?
Gone.
He's gone.
Absolutely
okay.
Gone. One of the, yeah.
There's not even clear.
Not even a question about that. Yeah, he would be gone. And we would be reevaluating how the juvenile justice system is operated here in the state of Maryland, and we would bring some common sense and some logic back to it. Relying a lot on law enforcement officials to help us craft that plan, and parents. Again, parents are responsible for the conduct of their children. They need to have a voice in how the juvenile justice system works, just as much as any politician does.
Yeah, I think many people listening today would agree with you, John, so we appreciate that. Another big topic. I feel like Maryland is national news a lot lately.
It is.
The FBI headquarters. So,
oh, my. Yeah.
So President Trump, he says, look, he says, first, Maryland's 3 hours away from D.C.
Clearly, yeah. He hasn't made the drive out here.
Yeah, you know what? I guess on a really bad traffic day, now that the Francis Scott Key Bridge is no longer there, it could get a little dicey on 95. But the FBI headquarters, according to Trump, is no longer headed to Maryland. At the beginning of the week, I said that possibly Governor Wes Moore should fight a little bit harder to get the headquarters here in Maryland. But then I had a lot of opposition from the callers, which is why I love this job, because people can call in and tell me, Kim, you're wrong on this. But a lot of people said, you know what, let it go to Virginia. Let it go closer to DOJ, where Trump really wants it. And they said, and also, it would stop with all this, Maryland residents and, having their federal government jobs and depending on the federal government as far as employment here in the state of Maryland.
Right.
I wanted to get your take on the FBI headquarters.
Sure. Maryland is dependent upon the federal government, as you said in your earlier segment this morning as well. About 320,000 Marylanders are federal employees. Yeah. They're our largest employer. Yet this governor came back from his meetings at the White House 2 weeks ago and said he can't work with this administration. Now, we keep losing and hemorrhaging federal jobs out of Maryland because of our policies, our progressive policies. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing was supposed to be relocated from D.C. to Beltsville, $1.9 billion project, canceled. Now the FBI headquarters that was going to Greenbelt, canceled. Gee, I wonder why. Well, I've been saying this since that was announced, that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen under a Trump administration, because what law enforcement administration is going to put a federal law enforcement agency headquarters smack in the middle of a sanctuary county that refuses to cooperate with federal law enforcement?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It made no sense. And I knew it was not going to happen from the moment he was elected. Yeah, the moment Donald Trump was elected, that was not going to happen. And when you've got a governor who says he cannot work with the administration, our former governor could not work, is a Trump hater as well, and will not work with the Trump administration.
Yeah.
What benefit does that give Marylanders? None. We need a governor who can work with the federal government. I've worked in Democrat administrations. I've worked in Republican administrations. I will work with this president. I will work with this administration to try to stop the hemorrhage of federal jobs out of Maryland. Again, we can't afford this.
Yeah.
We can't afford a governor who's going to sit back, wring his hands, and blame the federal government, but will do nothing to work with them.
Yeah. Well, and I thought that was interesting because, Governor Wes Moore, he was complaining on some media networks that are to the left over the weekend that he found out about the fact that the FBI headquarters wasn't coming here through the press. But you're right.
Yeah.
When he came from that meeting in D.C., he said, I can't work with this administration, but then was very shocked that nobody called him.
Exactly. What were you expecting?
Yeah.
You said that you can't work with these people. Did you think somebody in the administration was going to pick up the phone and say, hey, by the way, Wes, just to give you a heads up, we're not coming.
Yeah.
No. No. You diss them, they're going to diss you.
Yeah, it's like they're delusional.
They really are.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, too, because, you know, perhaps, of course, you might still have Attorney General Anthony Brown still in office if you were to become the governor here in 2026. How are you going to bridge that gap between, obviously, the Attorney General and the Trump administration, but also keep what's going on at bay? Because, you know, I'm seeing that AG, he's determined to continue to file lawsuits against the Trump administration. They're very upset with Doge and Elon Musk. How do you make that all work? Because I would think that that's going to pull you in two totally different directions.
Well, you're absolutely right. And hopefully, there'll be a different attorney general. But if it is still Mr. Attorney General Brown, I would like to work with the attorney general. Again, I think I can work with pretty much anybody. We can come to common ground to try to benefit Marylanders. But if we can't, the attorney general can only do so much because he's of his budget. So if we keep allocating money to him to be able to do this stuff, the attorney general initially asked for $1 million to go after the Trump administration. This General Assembly just authorized another $1.5 million for the attorney general to continue these lawsuits. Again, a ridiculous position. So as governor, I would limit the attorney general's budget. Now, the attorney general is an independent agency. He doesn't work for the governor, but he needs to work with the governor. And I pledge right now, I will do my level best to work with whoever is sitting in that seat for the benefit of all Marylanders. And if we can't, we'll use the carrot and stick approach.
All right. Well, guess what? I think that got many votes just from that alone, because there are a lot of people like myself, you know, we're looking at this and saying, we didn't vote for you to put up a fight against President Trump because I voted for President Trump.
Right.
And I will note also with the budget and all these fees and taxes that they're proposing, even if Trump saves us money on the national level, we won't really feel it here in Maryland.
No, absolutely
because of
not.
What they've been doing in regards to all the spending. I do have a text here, John. It says, tell John Meyer he has my vote. Retired HCSO deputy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so there you go. John, before you go, I do want to just ask you again, if you could just let people know where you're going to be. Obviously, you have an event tonight.
Right.
And then again, give them your website. And then also, if there's just something you want the audience to know before you go here today.
Sure. Thanks, Kim. Again, thank you for having me here. On Monday, I will be down in Prince Frederick in Calvert County with the Republican Women of Calvert County at 6:30 p.m. at Stoney's Seafood Restaurant. I'll be back up in this area at BJ's Pub in Nottingham on Wednesday the 26th at 6:30 with the Maryland Republican Assembly. And then I'll be back down in Calvert and St. Mary's counties next week.
Okay.
So on my website is also a list of my events.
Okay,
so
good.
The website, again, is johnmyrick4mdgovernor.org. People can go to the events tab. It lists all my events, where I'll be, the times. It even has maps. So people can see it there. And again, just to close out, Maryland deserves a governor who works for Maryland. I always say, you know, I'm not a politician. I disdain politics and politicians. I've worked in the federal government. I've worked for Democrats and Republicans both. But by and large, politicians talk about problems. Public servants solve problems. I've been called upon by the federal government for my entire professional career to solve difficult problems, and I do very well at it. Can I fix Maryland overnight? Absolutely not. Can I set us on the right path? Absolutely I can. Maryland didn't get broken overnight. It's not going to get fixed overnight. But this is Marylanders' time, Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated. This is our time to have a governor who works for them, works for us, works for Marylanders. Not for their own special interest, not for the next office they're looking for. You know, I never thought I'd be running for governor. And I wouldn't be had I not received literally hundreds of phone calls from across the state begging me to do this.
Nice.
I'm doing this because my family taught me we don't run from a fight. We run towards the fight. Maryland is my home. It's worth fighting for, and I will do my level best to make sure that Maryland is prosperous and a place that all Marylanders can call home.
Nice. Well, again, you have gubernatorial candidate John Myrick here. And I truly do appreciate you for coming in studio today. And don't forget to donate to John as well, because this is going to take money.
It's going to take a lot of money. And there's a donate button on the website as well.
Yeah, okay,
so
good.
It's all over the website.
Good, good. But I think you can win this. We've got a lot to do here, and hopefully we'll get through this. John, thank you so much for coming in studio. We appreciate you.
Kim, thanks again.
Thank you.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Over the years, my feet, knees, and back were in pain. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports, relieving pain and keeping me active. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk. Visit goodfeet.com.
Milo's Rewards Week is coming, and it's kind of a big deal. Members, get ready for up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items. Join for free today. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of the many award-winning natural hair products from New Nordic. Purchase Hair Volume at newnordicusa.com or at CVS.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliott.
Democrats, stop telling me. And everywhere I go, oh, he's such a good man. He's so compassionate. He's such a decent man. He's so honorable. He's a man of integrity, a man of character. No, he's not. People with integrity and men of character don't put other countries first and ignore their fellow Americans who are in need, in desperate need. And, of course, they all do the obligatory trip down in North Carolina. Then they go ignore.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliott on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, there you have it. John Myrick running for governor here in the state of Maryland. Boy, do we need a new governor. If you want to call in and weigh in on the conversation, please do. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Don't forget, his website is John Myrick. That's J-O-H-N-M-Y-R-I-C-K. For Maryland, formdgovernor.org. So if you could go to his website, John Myrick for MDGovernor.org, please go on and make a donation, and then also check out where his events are going to be here. As he noted, he's got one coming up tonight in Parkville. He's got one coming up, on Monday, and he's done 65 events already. So if you could, definitely make sure that you show up. If you want to ask him a question in person, you can. But we got to support our GOP candidates. And, you know, getting in the race so early on, I thought, you know, of course, that's a great idea on John's part. But we've got so many issues. We really do. And as he mentioned there, I want to go back to when he talked about accountability. That's huge, because right now we aren't holding anybody accountable. And Marty, I know when you were asking earlier, so we could ask Delegate Kathy Shalega about the NTSB report, and does that open us up to more lawsuits? I wouldn't think that it will, because unfortunately we have, we've got obviously people that were killed that day, six people. Does that open up lawsuits from those victims' families? I don't know. And then on top of it, we're still waiting to see if we're going to get any money from the cargo ship company, right? I mean, it's like, what's going on with that? But if we find out that now, I'm sure they could use this in their lawsuit saying, well, you know what? Maryland Transportation Authority, they didn't do their job. So it's not completely on us. So, yeah, that, I mean, that's a good question. And then if that happens, and especially if those victims are able to claim against the fact that we, you know, failed on our part as a state, I would think that that money, again, comes from we the people. If we're just putting in perspective here how bad things are, I mean, it really, it'll make you depressed. It really will. And we didn't even talk about all of it. You know, coming up next, I do want to hear from you, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, on all of these items, especially our interview there with the gubernatorial candidate, John Myrick. But also, I put out a post yesterday because they're raising the taxes on cannabis. Now, remember, the Maryland legislators, they told us that they were legalizing cannabis in the first place because they wanted to end marijuana sales on the streets. Well, wait till you hear about how much this increase is on cannabis. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balanced care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balanced care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes the solution is as simple as removing